Easy listening, 103.7 to NUR FM. Time now for the Starlight Zone. Good morning, Cole.
Good morning, Graham.
Footy aside, we're looking at other stars for now. And you've been up since, well, you were up very late last night. You actually saw this star go out or not?
No, I didn't see it from Kurri Kurri. We were clouded out, or we had a faint cloud there and we couldn't see it. But we had people all over Australasia going right across from Shark Bay in Western Australia. The shadow of this occultation, they call it. It was a little tiny asteroid, 76 kilometres in diameter, that went across a star called Zavajaya. And the shadow actually travelled right across our continent from Shark Bay in Western Australia to Lake's Entrance on an oblique angle, and then across the cold Tasman and into New Zealand at Hokitika, and across the Alps and down onto the Canterbury Plain and across at Waipara. And Graham Blow was over there from the New Zealand Astronomical Society, and he actually saw the occultation take place. And this is a unique thing to see it with a naked eye star. Mm. And Dave Dunham is out here from IOTA, from the Johns Hopkins University in Maryland, and he observed it from Adelaide. And, of course, Dave Herold observed it from down on Lake's Entrance. So we had a wonderful cover right across Australia, and a lot of scientific information will come from this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Graham Blow's on the line from Christchurch Airport. Graham, tell us what you saw.
OK, well, I was monitoring the star. It was a very bright star, by far the brightest occultation of this type that I've ever seen. I found that the star winked out really relatively suddenly, and although with these sort of things you tend to expect that the star will disappear, in this case, with the star being so bright, suddenly it was there and suddenly it was not. It was a very exciting experience.
It would be. And you actually saw it for how long? What did your timing indicate?
Well, I saw the star disappear for about 1 second, and based upon where the predicted track or where the track was predicted to go, this was would indicate that the shadow of the minor planet on the Earth actually moved a little bit south by about 20 or 25 kilometres. Now, we don't have all of the data in from all our observers, but this may also indicate that the minor planet was not circular in shape and was possibly ellipsoidal rather than circular.
Well, that's very interesting. And how many people actually saw the occultation?
In New Zealand, we have reports from 9 observers, and those observers saw events between about 1 second and more than 4 seconds in length. The predicted maximum duration of this event was only going to be about 3.8 seconds. So if observers have observed something longer than that, it does tend to indicate that the asteroid is not the size that we expected it to be.
Well, that's touching the edges of science, isn't it? You've done very, very well, Graham.
Thank you very much, Cole.
Okay, bye, Graham, and have a good trip back.
Thank you.
David Dunham,
yes.
How did you get on over in Adelaide? You were north of Adelaide somewhere observing. Tell us about it.
Okay, actually, I was southeast of Adelaide at Tailem Bend, and I had to dodge a lot of clouds. I kept in touch with the Meteorology Bureau, and they kept giving me some good advice about the best place to go, but, you know, there were still some thin cloud there. But it was very interesting. I did record about a one-second occultation, and there were other people at northern part of Adelaide, and they had no occultation because, as Graham mentioned, the path shifted south. There was an observer at Aldinga Beach who also saw the occultation in the southern part of the path. So we've got at least two good records around here. There might be more. Joe Greta organized the observations for the Astronomical Society of South Australia with observers around the southern part of South Australia here. So we hope to hear from a few more of them, and maybe we'll get a couple of more cords to add to the great results from New Zealand.
Yes, the very, very good results from New Zealand. And, of course, Dave Herold saw it as well down at Lake's Entrance in Victoria, just as it flashed out into the cold Tasman Sea.
Great.
Tell us about that, Dave.
Yes, well, that's right. I got an occultation which lasted for 3.2 seconds. The sky was reasonably clear. There was a bit of a high-altitude cloud, but I had a strip of thicker cloud, which you couldn't really see, which was over the star until about 30 seconds before the occultation. And it was too faint to pick up with the video recorder before then, but it came out out of the cloud, this cloud, it was just fine. And people would have, if anyone was around anywhere nearby, they would have had no trouble seeing the star at all. And I believe there was somebody a bit further north than I was that may have got a miss by the sound of the shift that's happened. But there are also people a bit further south from Bairnsdale, or should have been, but it's still a bit early to have got their results in yet.
Dave, look, this is great because this is the cutting edge of science, and I'd like you to tell our listeners why this is so important, this occultation, the fact that you're blotting out a star that is 33 light years away, using, if you can call it that, using an asteroid that is only 76 kilometres in diameter and about 300 million kilometres away from us.
Well, that's one of the interesting challenges because up until fairly recent times with this technique, it has been very difficult to measure anything about the asteroids apart from sending spacecraft to them. And, of course, David Dunham has been involved in one of those exercises. But it is a very clever technique to be able to observe these events. The reason why it hasn't been possible in the past is largely because of old problems with the accuracy of knowing the positions of the stars. But in the last 5 years or so, there have been significant advances in our knowledge of how accurate the accurate positions of stars because of some spacecraft work that was done in the 80s and early 90s. And it just provides a very simple but exotic way of getting highly accurate information about these asteroids.
It's absolutely marvellous. Dave Dunham, thank you very much, and we appreciate talking to you.